In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, justly deserved Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray Thee, Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who hast set Thy glory above the heavens. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that Thou visitest him? Thou, O Lord, art our Father and our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Thank you. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give Thee humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast preserved us during the past year from all evil, and bestowed upon us all manner of good, and dost now permit us to enter upon a new year. And we pray that it may please Thee mercifully to crown this year also with Thy goodness, to bless us and our households with Thy heavenly gifts, and to grant and preserve unto us whatsoever is necessary for our bodily wants, to avert from us all calamities and evils of body and soul, and to make this to be unto us a blessed, peaceful, and happy new year, for the sake of Jesus Christ, Thy dear Son, our only Savior, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, New Year's Day, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, and reads as follows. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 125. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is Psalm 111 and reads as follows. I have to apologize. I was completely in the wrong section of the service. Dale, you don't need to replay that part of the liturgy, but I introduced the sermon text. I should have been introducing the gospel lesson for the day. So the gospel lesson is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32, and reads as follows. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as this is found on page 22 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As was mentioned a few minutes ago, our text for this evening, or this morning, is found in Psalm 111 and reads as follows. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, today we begin a new year. The occasion of an old year giving way to a new one is celebrated by people throughout the world as a special time to think back and remember the good times of the past, and more importantly, to look forward to a future full of new and exciting possibilities. But if you and I look back over the year we just concluded, we will see some things that we definitely would not want to celebrate, for we would have to see our sins, of which we must be deeply ashamed. We've transgressed God's law in more ways than we can know. And yet, at the same time, we can still look back and acknowledge with thankful hearts God's wonderful works in our lives personally and throughout the world. Likewise, we know that His goodness will continue to be extended to us in this new year that we have just begun. Let us therefore, on this first day of 2023, take as our theme a quotation from verse 2 in our text, namely, "The works of the Lord are great." In the first place, we shall consider His wonderful works over our lives thus far. And secondly, His wonderful works in the new year that we start today. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His word in your hearts and in your lives. When we think about our lives up to this point, oh, how many significant changes have taken place. The most significant change would have to be our deliverance from the slavery of sin and Satan in which we were born as unbelievers, and how we've been changed, how we've been made the believing children of God, adopted by His grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Considering how many great, wonderful blessings God's bestowed upon us, both physical and spiritual, it is most appropriate for us to join with the psalmist in our text for this morning in giving heartfelt expression of thanks and gratitude toward our gracious God. We read in the first verse, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." So our praise, our worship of God, as we're told in this first verse, is to be with our whole heart, not half-heartedly, giving God only part of the praise, while reserving for ourselves a generous portion. It is also not appropriate and not pleasing to God if we only praise Him with our lips in the church service, while our hearts and minds are not at all engaged, but are wandering elsewhere. No, the true worship and praise of the Lord, the kind that He demands, the kind He most certainly deserves from us, must come from the heart, even when no words come out of our mouths. Our text for this morning does, however, direct us to consider how the true worship of our heart does come out through our mouth when we praise Him together with our fellow Christians in the church service, with those that the Holy Ghost has united together with us in the bonds of faith. Remember, our text says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So then, even though the true worship of God is a very personal matter, a matter of the heart, yet it is not to be rendered only in private, but also with our fellow Christians in the congregation, as we are privileged to do together in our worship service this morning. The next verse of our text shows that those who are true Christians take to heart and appreciate the wonderful works of God. We read, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein." That His works are sought out means that they're searched by Christians in the sense of diligently studied or researched. And not only does this verse say that we Christians study the wonderful works of God, but that we have pleasure in them, which according to the Hebrew means that we desire them, we treasure His wonderful works. Indeed, Christians have pleasure in the great, wonderful works of God, for they recognize in them a manifestation of God's wisdom, power, and rich grace in Christ Jesus. Even though the works of the Lord surpass our limited understanding, we do understand, on the basis of His Word, that all God actively does, and even all that He simply allows to be done in the world around us, work together under His gracious and powerful, all-wise direction to serve the good of His believing children. Now, a human's works reveal the kind of person that he is. A person's works reveal the person's character. Jesus said, "Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And so it is also with God. His magnificent works testify to His own magnificence. Notice here how our text links together God's works and His attributes. We read, "His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." The Lord has made His wonderful works to be remembered. They are so memorable because they're so wonderful. Sadly, though, because of our flesh, we do not always remember His wonderful works as we should. So many of His wonderful works really should be obvious, even to the unbelievers, because they're visible all around us. Take, for instance, the marvels of God's creation. The Lord is the one who created you and me and all things. The earth, with all of its beautiful mountains and forests and lakes, all the animals, all the plants, the sun, the planets, and the stars, and so on. The entire universe was created by God. And not only did he create those things, but he, by his power, preserves them, upholding all things by the word of his power. Yes, he is the one who gave you life, and he is the one who keeps you alive. Looking back over our lives, we can see how God always kept his word in guarding and protecting us in every situation. For even when he allowed hardships, accidents, injuries, or sicknesses to befall us, he always held us by the hand and worked all those things together for our good. And all of this not because we deserve it, but because of his undeserved kindness, his grace in Christ Jesus, which the Lord Jesus earned for us by his perfect life and by his bitter suffering and death. God's love for us in Christ has kept us safe throughout our lives. Our text for this morning refers to this bountiful grace of God in Christ when it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." That's only on account of Christ's work of redemption. Otherwise, our sins would just condemn us, and we would suffer under his wrath. But for Christ's sake, all of our sins are forgiven. He atoned for all of our sins by his life and by his death on the cross. This is the reason why God treats us with so much kindness. This is the reason why we can look back over our entire lives and see the good and gracious works of God, more blessings than we can number. It is true, of course, that even the unbelievers, those who reject God's grace in Christ, are also benefited greatly from the merciful kindness of the Lord, who maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Indeed, the Lord most graciously provides daily bread, also to all the wicked. However, the next two verses of our text do not focus us on the general goodness of God to the unbelievers, but specifically upon the goodness that he shows to his believing children, those who follow him in faith. For we read, "He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen." The children of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, knew from their history how the Lord had mightily delivered them from their slavery in Egypt, preserved them through their years of wandering in the wilderness, and gave them the heritage of the heathen nations that had been occupying the promised land of Canaan. And this same gracious Lord God is the one who has consistently delivered us countless times from all danger, preserved our bodies and souls throughout our time here on earth, and will finally lead us into the promised land of heaven for Jesus' sake when all our years here are done. Indeed, remembering how he has kept us in his love and grace during our lives thus far, we should also have the utmost confidence that he will continue this into the new year. Why? Because he's promised us in his holy word never to leave us nor forsake us. In the next two verses of our text, the works of the Lord are linked together with his word and with his attributes of faithfulness and justice. Thus, those works are themselves declared to be true and just. We read, "The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness." The reference here to God's hands is an obvious anthropomorphism that we humans can readily relate to because our works are done with our hands. But notice the close parallel expressions in these verses 7 and 8. The phrase verity and judgment corresponds to the phrase truth and uprightness. The Lord's works and His commands, according to our text, stand forever and ever. What a comfort this is for us to think about as we think about the future. His word and His works are as sure and faithful as He Himself is unchangeable and faithful. The Scriptures clearly state, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? So then, even though we know that various trials, hardships, temptations will come upon us in this new year, God has promised not to allow those temptations to be greater than the strength that He will also give us to overcome them. And we can trust that promise because He is faithful. He always keeps His word. Thus, this same point is made by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, where we read, There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we have no need to fear what awaits us in 2023 as we venture forth into the new year, since we know that the Lord will be faithful to all of His promises. The great love that God has for us is clearly seen in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel assures us of God's gracious dealings in every area of our lives for Christ's sake. As St. Paul writes to the Romans, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The Lord's grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus is so bountifully bestowed upon His people. It was bestowed upon His people already in the Old Testament for Christ's sake, for the sake of the Messiah in whom they trusted. This was the gospel covenant of His grace that He had established with them. And our text for this morning refers to this very thing, where it says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. That covenant of God's grace was the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New. It is the covenant of God's peace and forgiveness for Jesus' sake without any merit or worthiness on the part of sinful mankind. Those who reject the gospel, those who discard the work of Christ as a myth or a fairy tale, do not benefit from this covenant. They remain completely sinful and filthy in God's sight. And if they die in that condition, they will receive exactly what they deserve because of their sins, eternal pain and suffering in the fires of hell. That same sad end also awaits those who think of themselves as Christians and may be very regular in their church attendance, but who, instead of trusting in Christ, trust in their own works and merits to be saved, believing that they are justified, declared righteous, and forgiven before God on the basis of their great deeds and conduct. Such a belief destroys faith. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, where he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So may we never self-righteously deny our sinfulness or our need for Jesus. but ever humbly confess our sins and cling tightly to Him in faith, trusting only in Christ for our forgiveness. Though the unbelieving world around us mocks our faith, regards us as fools, let us rejoice that through the working of the Holy Ghost, we have been given a great spiritual knowledge. Our text refers to this as a kind of wisdom, a wisdom of which the world is completely ignorant, the wisdom of salvation through faith in Jesus, also the knowledge of how to live our lives in a God-pleasing way for the best interests of our neighbor and also for our own godly happiness in this life. Thus, our text for this morning concludes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." This wisdom is built up and strengthened in us by God's Holy Spirit through the continued use of His precious Word. Carrying this great wisdom forward with us into the new year, applying it consistently to our faith and life, will not necessarily guarantee that we will experience great earthly prosperity. But it does mean that we will have a most blessed new year. God graciously grant that to all of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, We begin this year by placing before Thee in our first divine service a thank offering, which will continue in the divine services throughout the year, and which we ask Thee to bless in the work of Thy kingdom for Thy mercy's sake. Amen. The newly elected church officers will please step forward. Dear brethren, you have been elected in a regular meeting of this congregation to be church officers. As such, you are to be of assistance to me, the appointed minister of the word, in the work of upbuilding the kingdom of God among us. You are to see to it that the services of God's house be held regularly and be conducted decently and in good order, that the gospel be preached in all its truth and purity in accordance with the sound Lutheran faith, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, and that church discipline be maintained according to Christ's instruction in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. You are to administer to the temporal affairs of this congregation, keep its property in good repair, and provide for the pastor's support, and for all other necessities. You are to assist in the care of the sick and the needy, in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members, in the promotion of the general welfare of the congregation, and in the furtherance of Christ's kingdom at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of His church, to set your own households and the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life. In order then that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you in the presence of God and this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation according to the ability that God giveth? So answer, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I wish you the blessing and guidance of God in the exercise of the office to which you have been elected. May the Lord direct and assist you with the Holy Ghost. May He counsel and strengthen you in all of your undertakings and encourage you to labor diligently for the prosperity of His church and this congregation, to fulfill with fidelity your respective duties. Make the Word of God your guide, and search it daily for instruction. And to the end that your ministrations may serve the glory of God and the best interests of this congregation, and your own great joy, may God, without whom you can do nothing, plentifully endow you with His grace, and bless abundantly all of your faithful labors. Now let us pray. O most merciful and gracious God, who art an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows, we beseech Thee for Jesus' sake, send down Thy Holy Spirit upon these Thy servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need, they may by prayer and supplication make their requests for the church known to Thee, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may edify Thy congregation, and that the enemies of Thy church may find no ground for complaint. Set them for a blessing to Thy believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with their pastor, and grant that also by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that Thy name may be hallowed, Thy kingdom enlarged, and Thy will be done, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, dear brethren, as ye have been called. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Depart in peace. Let us rise to pray. O Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art our Savior, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. To Thee, therefore, we confess all our sins in which we were conceived and born, and with which from our youth and during the past year we have offended Thy Heavenly Father. For Thy name's sake, have mercy upon us, and let us find pardon and peace and joy in Thee. And as Thou hast brought us safely to the beginning of another year, we beseech Thee, make this new year to us another year of salvation. We cross its threshold in Thy name. Thy name shall be our refuge and only hiding place. Engrave it upon our hearts, and let us daily experience its gracious power and enjoy Thy consolations, that our prayers may be a sweet incense before God. Renew our hearts and sanctify us by the Holy Spirit. Bless Thy church, which Thou hast purchased with Thine own blood. Give free course to Thy word, that Thy kingdom may be extended to the ends of the earth. Look down in mercy also upon our congregation, and preserve among us the preaching of Thy pure word and the right use of the holy sacraments. Do not permit Thy word to return unto Thee void, but open the hearts of the hearers to receive it with gladness and to yield ready obedience. Do Thou in this new year bless our country and all its inhabitants. Establish peace within our borders and upon all the earth. Prosper the work of our hands. Give us our daily bread, and preserve us from sickness and all other adversities. Crown this year also with Thy goodness, that Thy glory may dwell in our land. Watch over our homes. Bless them with peace and happiness, and grant that all parents and heads of families may govern their households in true godliness, bringing up their children in Thy fear. Provide for all that are desolate and afflicted, and have mercy upon those who are sick. We ask Thee graciously to bless Pastor Leitz, that he may continue to preach and teach Thy word to the members of Trinity in Oak Park, for the welfare of their eternal souls, and to the glory of Thy holy name. As our times are in Thy hand, we commit ourselves into Thy keeping. Hear us when we call upon Thee. Help us in the new year to walk in newness of life, loving Thee and doing Thy commandments. And if this year be our last on earth, do Thou, O Lord, at the appointed hour, close our mortal life in peace, that we may begin the next life in Thy blissful presence, where with all the angels and all the elect, we shall ascribe to Thee blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Hear us, Lord Jesus, for Thy name's sake. And in Thy name we also now pray for our communicants. Dear Lord Jesus, who callest unto Thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray Thee, let these guests experience Thy love at the heavenly feast which Thou hast prepared for Thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with Thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure for evermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying,